Session number 5868, Horton Mundy, Reel 23.
Well, now I want to carry on where I left off the other side of this tape. I told you then that I'd just been transferred to another job with that old village shoemaker. Well, now that was a real good job. Nice and dry, in the warm, comfortable. Wasn't a bad job at all. Well, now, the boss there that owned it, he, of course, in pre-war days, was the old village shoemaker. And he wasn't a bad old stick at all. He had some complaint. I don't know whether he was a cripple from birth, but anyway, he had a sort of a gammy foot and used to hobble a bit, so naturally we called him Hoppy. Now then, I told you, I think, in that room there was a number of Russians, two girls in the village, and the one that was supervisor, and the other Frenchman. There was a Frenchman, myself, and the Russians. That was the working party with these other two girls. Well, we carried on and we got to know each other and we were very comfortable and happy at work. But the old fella, as the business grew, he'd got an outhouse outside, a large building, and it was like a large shed, well built. So he transferred the old lot of us into this new building. And he had benches fitted all down the centre. And we worked from that. Well, then after a little while, the old Frenchie and me, we wasn't far away from our lager, matter of a couple hundred yards from our lager. Well, when we got settled down working in this new shed of his, a new building, the old boy said, would we like to keep down there, the Frenchman and myself, instead of keep going back to the lager to sleep at night. So, of course, we was very, very pleased about that. And the old boy fitted us up with a mattress and so forth. And this Frenchman, Juan Dumas, him and I settled down there and slept there. Now, because he always used to lock us in at night, naturally. Well, him and I slept there and we carried on. Now, every night before we went to sleep, we each used to say the same thing. Good night, good night, and bon soir or bon nuit, I forget which. We always used to have those three sayings to each other every night before we fell asleep. Now then, I'm going to tell you a little bit now about one of those girls. It was Minna. Now, she was a lovely gal. She was only about 19 or 20. Well, I was only about 21 or 2. Don't matter about that. Well, her and I, we sort of paired up. Well, now, it was a hell of a risk. But we paired up and we got on very well. And we was always frightened in case the old postman should get to know. Well, now the postman, it was well known that any prisoner getting tangled up with a German gal, well, it was good night. Because for very small things, once they were reported to the authorities, you were sent away to what they sort of termed a labour camp, what you'd call today a labour camp. And there, you had to work and knocked your boot, and above all, your parcels were stopped. But that was for the routine, if you'd done something really wrong. But should you ever get caught messing about with a girl, well, you could say you had had it completely, because you were shot for that. No doubt about it. But anyway, old Minna and me, we had a right raw time. Used to get on well. I must have been there at Easter time. because I remember Easter Sunday, I told you they kept it up, same as Christmas. On this Sunday morning, the Frenchie, Yuan, and myself was in this place where he let us sleep and stay, because on the Sunday morning, I remember, or middle of the morning, Oppy came round, he brought his wife, these two girls out of the village, and that widow, the officer's widow, they came into us and come in singing and dancing and shouting, and they got a lot of so-called Palm Sunday, waving these about, and they kept it up just like Christmas and had a sing-song in their lingo, and old boy, he brought some snaps in, and we had a few drinks. We really enjoyed that. So it must have been there at Easter at that time. Well, now, I told you before, old Minna and me got quite pally. Well, I remember one particular night, an old boy, he was a gay old spark in his way, and I might tell you a bit about him later on another tape perhaps, and he was a gay old spark, and he held a party in his house. Well, his house joined our place where we were sleeping, and had these gals there, and all of them had a good old sing song. We could hear them singing and shouting, and we'd gone to bed then. Juan and myself, we laid down, we'd gone to kip, settled down for the night, and at the end of this long room, there's a window. Well, now, when you stood outside that window, your shoulders were thereabouts level with the sill of the window. Well, into the night, it come, must have been 11 o'clock or perhaps later. There was a hell of a rattle on the window. So me and old Juan jumped up, went to the window, and blimey, there was Minna. She was sore, must have been, and said, could she come in? So I said, yes, yeah. Old Juan, he said, no, we ain't having her in here. I said, oh, yes, come on. I opened the window, Minna was outside, and oh, blimey. She tried to climb in, I got hold of her arms and tried to pull her in, and the more I tried to pull her in, the more old Juan pushed me from behind to push us both out. Oh, how we did have a do for a time, and anyhow, it ended up pretty middling. I got old Minna three parts the way in, old Juan gave me a hell of a bang. Out Minna shot, and as she went out, she banged her arm through the window and smashed it. Oh, blimey, so we shut the window up and kept quiet. Well, in the morning, old Oppy come in and wanted to know all about the window being smashed. But I think Minna must have told him, because he never grumbled us two at all, but I don't know what he said to Minna. I'll bet she copped a packet, but it was a proper laugh. At the end of the war, when we left Domino to go back to the main camp at Eelsburg, because the British was first to leave, I remember then, when we left that day, there was quite a lot of the civvies in the street to come and see us all. Poor old Minna, she was amongst them, and she come over and bawled, would I take her back to England? I said, no, I can't. But she were a nice girl. I sometimes think of her, you know, now I sit alone, old, I wonder what happened to folks years and years ago. But poor old Minna, she were a nice girl. Now I better start and tell you a few tales of what happened, a few of the experiences. And one especially was that old Oppy, he used to have his leather come in bundles, the hides of course, come in bundles to the railway station. And he used to go to Konigsberg and select a load and have them sent through. That sometime happened. But anyway, on this particular occasion, I remember we went down to the yard. He says, come down the station and collect some of it. Take a truck and that sort of thing. Well, we went down and we stood in the waiting room there. I remember this so well. We stood in the waiting room talking, and on the wall of the waiting room, the long, long wall, one very long wall, there was one placard, covered the whole lot of it, and all of it was a map of the world. Every country in the world on this map, and all the British colonies on this map was marked in red. That was Australia, New Zealand, Canada, all different, some parts of Africa, India, and all different parts of the world was marked in red on this large map along the wall. So this old Jerry said to me, you look at that, he said. That's what we're having to fight. Now look at Germany on here, he said, and he pointed Germany on the map. He said, look at that, a little small country like this fighting all those countries all over the world. I said, yeah. I said, but there's one thing you forget. I said, do you try and recall. At the outbreak of the war, I said, the Kaiser William, when he heard that England had declared war on Germany, his remark to his cabinet was, what, that contemptible little army? I said, it don't look like it now, does it? But anyway, that's what the old Kaiser said, you know. That is the reason why the old contemptibles have got that name. It was the Kaiser saying, that contemptible little army. Now that's how the contemptibles got that name. But never mind about that. Now we stood talking and about that sort of thing for some time. Now on the end of this waiting room, on the end wall, was another large map. And it was a map of England. Just the clear map of England and Scotland and Wales, of course. Just that, on one big large map. Now every few little ways around that map on the wall was submarines, U-boats, and here and there I pointed them out to him, because he could see them same as me. I said, look, there you are, submarine, U-boats all around England, blockade in England, so that nothing whatever could get into England because of the German U-boats. I said to him, I said, have you noticed all the parcels we get? I said, all the food we get? I said, them boats, you know, got through them submarines easy enough, didn't they? Well, do you know the old fella? Well, because he knew, I needn't have told him. He knew what was happening as well as I did. Well, back in the old snob shop, these Russians, because we got to know them ever so well then, working together every day, you got closer to each other. And, because some could splutter a bit, well, we used to make ourselves understood a little bit. Those that could speak German fairly well, it was pretty easy. But anyway, we used to make each other understood. And I remember one day, we used to have jokes and laughs together, and one of these Russians told me to say something to one of the others. Now, that's very comical. He said, when he goes out, I don't know where he was, this particular one went to the toilet, we'll put it that way. Anyway, he went outside, and while he was away, he said to me, now when he comes back, you say this to him. Now what the hell it was, I don't know, I can't, I didn't then. And you say it like this. Now that was in Russian, mind you. and I got a bit of paper, and he said it slow, whatever it was, and I wrote it down on the paper how it sounded to me, see? Well, you say in English, if you like me, put it that way. Well, you can write that down, if you, or put a you, and so on. Anyway, it turned out last. What he'd done, he told me quite a bit, and I wrote it all down, a sentence. I didn't know what it was, and no, I don't know. And I wrote it down as it sounded to me, this sentence. And quite a bit it was. I wrote it all down, and when this chap was coming back across the yard, we could see him coming from, I think he went to the toilet, and coming back, this Russian has sat by me, and he said, go on, when he gets in here, you say that. So I said, all right. Well, I held this bit of paper down just below the bench, and as he come in, I started to read out how it sounded. And this Russian, he stopped and stared, and the others started laughing. Oh, blum, it was a laugh, but what it was, I don't know, so I might have been calling him all the names under the sun. But it just shows you how you can pick up expressions and know nothing whatever what it means. By this time, we'd all settled down to our various jobs. Yuan, Dumas, and myself, we was quite comfortable in that place where we kept down. Now, the war seemed to drag on, and we began to wonder whenever would it finish. No news at all we couldn't get. Then suddenly, the Germans told us that they had marvellous news. They had broke through the British lines in some parts of northern France and said how far they had got. Well, we couldn't believe it. We could never believe that they would have broken through in those parts. But when we came home after the war, it was quite true. They had broken through, but I think that was the last shot they made. And of course we stopped them, and that that was as far as they went. Well, of course, Yuan and myself, we used to go to the lager for our meals, and also on Sunday, because later on Sunday we used to go there and all knock in together and amuse ourselves as well as we could. There was one of the Scots chaps. He was a tall, thin chap, and he was much older than us others, but he had a kink for telling stories, tales, and some was quite witty and some smutty, whatever you take it, and he told those tales to us so many times that we could tell him back, read them backwards. But now, we had a good laugh one day. I've told you about that German kid that was so nasty. Well, he'd got him there one day. Old Jock was telling him the tale, reeling off one of his tales, and because he all broad Scotch, and well, this kid kept watching him with a blank face, like looking into a wall, no expression whatever. And when Jock finished telling him the tale after some time, this kid never stuck no notice, kept staring at Jock. So Jock turned to us. He said, "What do you think of that?" He said, "They can't see the funny side of anything." Well, the old postman began to give quite a lot of us some freedom, more freedom than before. The Russians, French and all of us, Sunday afternoon he allowed us to wander out and about. And as I told you before, I'd paired up with that other young Frenchman to try and make a break. Well, we took advantage of that. because joining the village, within a distance, there was that forest, large forest. Well, now, there was roadways cut deep into that, so when we used to go out on the Sunday afternoon, this Frenchman and a couple of air chaps with me, we wandered well into that forest to see how to make a break, how far we could go and so forth. But we found that it went a long, long way into that. Well, we wandered along in this forest this particular day, and after we'd gone some distance, we could hear a band playing. Couldn't make out what it was, but we listened, and they was playing God Save the King above all things. Well, evidently I found out afterwards that was a tune of theirs, and we listened. And then when we came back, I made inquiries in the village about this, and they told me that some miles into the forest there was a large lodge built there especially for hunting. I used to reckon that Kaiser and some of his party used to go there boar hunting, and it's a fine building and that sort of thing. Well, evidently that day that we went, there must have been a party going on then, because they'd got some sort of band playing. One day Hoppy told me to come in the next day. He says, "I want you to put your best clothes on." He says, "I'm going to take you to Konigsberg. That's where the tanneries are for leather." He says, "I'll take you there, so be prepared tomorrow." Well, now, on a later tape, I'll tell you what happened there. It was almost unbelievable how a prisoner of war ever got into the company that I did the next day. But I'll tell you all about that on the next tape.